We began to speak about the bracha that one is supposed to say upon seeing a rainbow. After there's a storm outside, you see a rainbow. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch told us exactly what is supposed to be said. We're going to continue on the theme a little bit of yesterday, but talk a little bit more in Yanei Hashkafa that have to do with the rainbow. So Rav Hirsch writes very beautifully. He has an insight in our parsha where he suggests a interpretation exactly what the rainbow represents. So Rav Hirsch suggests the following. He says there are two things we should notice about the rainbow that we see. One is the fact that the rainbow is Rosh HaMagia HaShamayma, that the rainbow is, one end of it is in the sky and the other end is here down on the earth. And he said, number two, the rainbow is all the different colors. So he says that really is supposed to highlight to us two very important things that we should keep in mind whenever we see such a thing. Number one is that we have a deep and meaningful relationship between the Shamayim and the Eretz. We have a very serious relationship that we are supposed to keep to between ourselves and the Ribono Shel Olam. And we should never feel that we're so far away. God every so often sends us a message and he lets us know, I'm here and I'm connected to you and I want you to be connected to me as well. But secondly, says Rav Hirsch, if you understand anything about a rainbow, the rainbow really begins as one color, and just when it refracts, it turns into all the different colors. But really, at its core, at its essence, it is one R Echad in the middle. It is one core light that just refracts and turns into all the different colors. And so too, says Rav Hirsch, every person who's put into this world is really just a refraction, is just a reflection of that one R Echad. There's really, God is the only light in the world, and he puts all of us, each person has their own circumstance, each person has their own skill, each person has their own talent, everybody is able to give something else with the aptitudes that they were given to contribute to the world and to the furthering of godliness in the world and sanctity in the world. That's not something that everybody is supposed to be doing like everybody else. Each person has their own color, their own flavor, and each person should recognize that the rainbow, which is the highlighting the significance of connection between Shamayim and Aretz, is many different colors, and we too have the opportunity to be many different colors, each person giving their own contribution to what is going to be significant and meaningful to our world. It's interesting that Adam HaRishon as well, after he does the Chet, after he violates the Avera, so we know the Ribono Shel Olam makes for them Kosnos Ar Vayal Bishem, God makes for them clothing, and it's not clear exactly what those clothing are made out of. The Gemara has a discussion, but the Medrash says that they were made out of Oros Tachashim. What does it mean, Kosnos Ar? They were made out of a certain kind of Ar, of a Tachash, of an animal called the Tachash. So the question is, why? What exactly is Oros Tachashim? So the Medrash says Oros Tachashim means something that is a multicolored kind of leather, something that is a skin of an animal that has many, many different colors. And perhaps that was the same idea that was being taught to Adam HaRishon as well. Now you're the first person in creation. You're the one who's going to have many, many children, many offsprings, and the whole world is going to come from you. Don't ever forget about the fact that each person is entitled to have their own color and their own perspective, and each person has their own contribution that they are able to make. And perhaps this is why God chooses to give Adam HaRishon, the very first person, and Chava, the very first woman, a kosnos ar. He makes it that's not coincidental. God makes their clothing out of something that is multi-kusho. That individuality is a very important feature. It's something that only we are able to contribute. It's something only we are able to do. And it's something we should be very proud of. We should not be ashamed of at all. There's a famous comment of, it's an insight of Rameir Shapiro. Rameir Shapiro is the founder of the Daf Yomi. He's the Rosh Hashiva of Chachmei Lublin in the 1900s. So Rameir Shapiro thought that it's a very strange thing. You look in Rashi and our Parsha and you'll notice, how many years was Noach building the Teva? 120 years, Rashi says. So 120 years, what's he doing for those 120 years? So Rashi clues us in a little bit that those 120 years were supposed to be used to try and convince the world to do tshuva. So he opens up a kiruv yeshiva and he's giving speeches all over the place. 120 years, Noach is shouting from the rooftops and everywhere he goes, they're inviting him as the guest speaker to be the one to try and be chozer everyone b'tshuva. And what happens? We don't hear about one extra person, not a single extra person. He wasn't mashbi on anyone. Imagine he had a job for 120 years. He weren't successful in doing one thing, not one thing, nothing. Noach is able to go 120 years and he doesn't feel terrible about himself. What's the story? How could it be? So you'll say, he didn't try? Of course he tried. God would have destroyed him also. He obviously tried. How come he was so unsuccessful, as for Meir Shapiro, when we know there are people in positions of power in our community who are probably not as charismatic as Noach, who are probably not as good a speaker as Noach was, who are probably not as knowledgeable, not as much of a tzaddik, not as much a Talmud Chacham, and yet there must be on somebody somewhere along the way. How could it be no person, not one kiruv project, nothing? He wasn't able to be successful to get anybody else into the Teva. It's a very strange phenomenon. Says Meir Shapiro, you know what the answer is? You can have all the charisma in the world, you can be an amazing orator, you can be an amazing preacher, you can have all the great speeches, and you can have charm and you can have charisma, you can have appeal. All of that is wonderful. But if you don't have confidence and faith and belief in the people that you're trying to convince about the idea you're trying to share with them, it will never work. Noach did not believe that anything would ever be able to change with these people, and therefore you can shout and scream and you can give all the speeches and you can be very charismatic, but none of that is going to help if you don't believe in the people that you're speaking to. If you don't believe that there's something special about them, and there's something unique that they can contribute, and something that the world can gain from those people that you're speaking to, you will never be successful to change anything of their persona, because they see straight through everything that you're saying. And therefore, says our Meir Shapiro, that's why Noach, 120 years is a long time. He spent a very long time trying to be Makar, trying to change the world, trying to affect in a positive change, but yet he was unsuccessful because he did not believe in the strength of the people. He did not believe in the uniqueness of what each person's contribution can actually be, even if a person is a Rasha. There is something unique, there is something special that they too can be able to contribute to the world. And Rabbi Meir Shapiro took it a step further, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't see it in print, but I heard it originally in his name. So if it's not him, you'll forgive me, but either way, it's a nice idea. He says, if you compare and contrast the way that Yaakov Avinu gives Musar, the way that Yaakov Avinu tries to be mashpia, tries to have an influence on others, and the way that Noach tried to be influencing others. By Yaakov Avinu, what do we find? Yaakov goes to the well, and he bends down, and he sees that people are not being faithful. They're wasting time. They're standing around the well. Nobody's doing anything. They're stealing from the owners. They're a bunch of shepherds, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Yaakov decides it's time for him to influence them, and how does he address them? He says, Achai, Me'ayim, my brothers. He comes to them in a loving way. He shows them how much he cares about them. He shows them that he believes that there's something that is worthwhile about their being in this world. And that's the way he addresses them. Only after beginning like that, saying, Achai, me'ayim, atem, only after that does Yaakov Avinu go on to say, well, I think things should be done a little differently. Noach, on the other hand, when the Medrash tells us how he addressed the people, when he went around in those 120 years, Noach started off every drasha saying, Shotim Shavolam, you bunch of fools, you bunch of lowlives, who are you, you bunch of nothings, you have to do tshuva. Well, if that's the perspective you have about us, why should we listen to you? Nobody's interested if that's the way you're going to talk to them. You're just going to shout and scream, which I'm doing right now, but if that's what you're going to do, nobody's interested in that. And that's why the Medrash points out that the way Noach addressed the people was, Shotim Shavolam, and that says Rameir Shapiro is why he was unsuccessful. Because Noach underestimated the power of each individual person. Noach didn't understand that everybody has something to contribute. So I thought, in light of what Rav Hirsch writes, that this is what the Keshus is supposed to represent, maybe that's why it was set aside specifically to Noach after the Mabul was over. God says to him, you know why you failed? You know why the whole Mabul happened? It's because you were not able to have respect for people. It's because you were not able to see the goodness in everyone in the world, and that's why when you addressed them, you told them, Shotim Sheva Olam, and you yelled at them, and you did not address them in a manner of respect, and you didn't understand that there's so much that they can actually contribute in a positive way to the world. Had you only done that, you would have been successful in bringing Bali Tshuva and able to bring people along with you in the Teva and saving a large part of the world, but you did not do so. And God comes to teach him the lesson, and he says, here I'm giving you a keshus. As Rav Hirsch writes, the keshus is something representing all the different colors, all the different strands, all the different abilities that people have, that we all have the opportunity to connect with God in our own way. And don't be judgmental about other people, just because they might have this talent and they don't have the other one, just because they're careful in this area and not another area, doesn't mean that they're worthless. It doesn't mean they have nothing that they can do. Noach, that was the mistake he made, and perhaps that's why God comes along and shows him specifically the multicolored rainbow, the same way Adam HaRishon was given the Kosnos Ar, that was made of many different colors. It was a clothing that was highlighting individuality and how important people's contributions really are to the entire world. It's interesting, in another couple of weeks, we're going to read Parshas Vayera, which starts off with Avraham Avinu. Vayera Eilav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. Avraham Avinu does a Bris Mila at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Now he is healing himself from the Bris Mila. He's trying to get better. And God comes to him and he has a revelation with the Ribono Shel Olam. In the midst of that conversation, all of a sudden, V'hinei Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav, he has three people who he sees in the distance. And Avraham Avinu loved to do Achnas Asarchim. So the Medrash clues us in who these three people were. We know they were three Malachim, but from the perspective of Avraham Avinu, he did not know that. So who were they? The Medrash says, one of them looked like he was an idol worshiper, one of them looked like he was an Arab, somebody, a Muslim. They were all people that he didn't care for. They were all people that he didn't really see anything so special in. But listen to the perspective that Avraham Avinu has when he notices three people who are not exactly those who he like, and are not exactly living life the way he would like people to live life, and they're not going in the way that he's trying to preach to the world. Says Avraham Avinu, Imroa ani shashchina mamtenas aleyam ani adea behem shehem gedolim. He's trying to find, what can I find special about them? He's trying to appreciate and acknowledge, what do they have that perhaps is unique about them? So Avraham Avinu says, Im ani roe osan cholkim kavod elu le'elu, says Avraham Avinu, if I see that they talk respectfully to one another, if I see that they are able to give derech eretz to each other, ani yodea shehem b'nei adam mihuganim, then I know that they are worthy people and they should come into my tent. V'kivan sheroo osam cholkim kavod elu le'elu, once Avraham Avinu sees that in fact they're talking respectfully to one another and they're acting respectfully, yada shehem b'nei adam mihuganim, that's how we knew that they were good people. It's amazing. Avraham Avinu sees three idol worshippers, three people who are so antithetical to everything that he stands for, and yet he figures out, how am I going to find some point of distinction in this person? What am I going to find that's really going to highlight how special they are, even though they might not be anything like me, they're not living a life that's anything similar to my life, but yet Avraham Avinu decides, I'm going to seek out that point inside of them that makes them extremely and entirely unique, different from everybody else. Once Avraham Avinu finds that, he says, okay, now I can let them enter into my tent. Somebody once pointed out to me that perhaps if we would only do that in the street, you look around at people and sometimes we're so judgmental, if we would only look inside of them to find something special, some unique characteristic, we would be able to uncover and discover and reveal malachim that are walking amongst us. The same way Avraham Avinu discovers later malachim of him, visiting him in his tent. So often we just look by people and we judge them and we decide what they are, what they're not, which box they fit into, and we don't realize that often we're maybe giving up on an opportunity to usher malachim into our own lives, into our own homes, and it's only because we fail to recognize that one point of interest, that one virtue, that one quality that they might have that is very, very important. Look a little bit further in Chumash, in Parshas Vayishlach. So we have the encounter between Yaakov Avinu and Esav, and Yaakov Avinu is very nervous. It says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Ma'od Vayetzer Lo. Yaakov Avinu is extremely concerned. What's going to be? Is he going to have a problem with Esav when they meet up with one another? So Rashi there quotes the Medrash, but the Medrash is really a little bit fuller if you look in the original. So the Medrash says, well, Yaakov Avinu is very nervous. Number one, he's nervous. I don't want to have blood on my hands. I don't want to be the one responsible to kill anybody in my brother's family. It's not the way I like to live life. At the same time, he's nervous. I don't want him to kill me either. So that's what Yaakov Avinu says. Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Ma'od. Vayetzer Lo. He's Vayira and Vayetzer. He's doubly nervous. Number one, he doesn't want to kill. Number two, he doesn't want to be killed either. Says the Medrash, why is Yaakov Avinu afraid of being killed? Why are you afraid? Do you think Esav has more of a schus than you? Do you think God would allow Esav to kill you? Why do you think God's not going to look out for you? Let's put everything in perspective. You have the great Yaakov Avinu, the Ishtam Yoshev Ahalam. He's sitting and learning all day long. He's the amazing tzaddik. Everybody knows Yaakov Avinu. On the other hand, you have Esav HaRasha, the infamous, nefarious person. Esav, everybody knows, the lowlife, Sheba, lowlife, can't get lower than that. He's doing Gili Arayas, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, all in the same day. And Yaakov Avinu is afraid, maybe he's going to kill me? Why would God allow that to happen? Says the Medrash, listen what Yaakov Avinu says. Amar Yaakov Avinu says to himself, Kol Hashanim Alalu Yoshev Be'eretz Yisrael. All this time that I was running away, my brother might be a big Rasha, but he was living in Eretz Yisrael. He was living in Eretz Yisrael. He has a schus for that. He has a merit. Tomashu bar elai mikoach yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. Maybe he'll be able to be victorious over me. Maybe God will allow him to win the war. Why? Because he has that schus of living in Eretz Yisrael. But what do you mean? Who cares that he's living in Eretz Yisrael? At the same time that he was living there, he was violating all the averus in the world. Gili arayis avodah zarah shvichas dam, can't get lower than that. But Yaakov is nervous. And then he says, Kol hashanim halalu yoshev v'mechaved es horav. All of these years that I was not at home, my brother Esav is sitting and giving respect and dignity and honor to my parents. And there perhaps he's able to come and he can win, he can be victorious because he has that schus. And it's an amazing comment of Yaakov Avinu. You can be the Ishtam Yoshev Ahalim. You think you have it all. But Yaakov Avinu is nervous. Why is he nervous? Because my brother, as much of a lowlife as I think he is, as much as I might feel that he's the Rasha, he's the Pachash of a Pchusim, he's the lowest of the low, you never know what schus a person has. You never know how they connect with God. You never know how proud God is of something in their life, some aspect of a wonderful contribution that they've made to the world that maybe you don't recognize. And therefore, to pass judgment on other people, Yaakov Avinu says, it's not so simple. Because it's not all at face value. It's not everything that we think it is. It's not always the color that we think we're supposed to be or the color we think other people are supposed to be. Everybody has their own individual ability to be able to connect and to be able to contribute in a very, very serious and substantive way. And that's something we learn from the mistake of Noach in our parsha. That's what the Medrash tells us very clearly. That's where Meir Shapiro points out. Noach addressed everybody as Shotem Sheba Olam. Instead of saying, Achaim, Ayin Atem, lift everybody up. Let them understand that there's something positive they can bring to the world and something very important that they have a job that they can do. Let's just close in Ni'ilan Yom Kippur. We say a very interesting tefillah. In Ni'ilan Yom Kippur, we say, Leman Nechdal Me'oshek Yadenu. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to give us the strength, to give us the courage that we should stop stealing, we should stop the act of theft and larceny. And it's a very strange comment, because obviously Lo Signov is a very important Avera, it's something that's in the Aseres Hadibros, it's something often people aren't careful about. But bottom line, there are many Averas that we have trouble keeping to. We have Aver of Lashon Hara, something that we all struggle with. We have many Averas. Why is Lo Signov on the top of the list? It's the only one we highlight. L'man Nechdal Me'oshek Yadenu. We need that God should help us, to give us strength, to give us courage, that we should stop stealing. So many people give different interpretations, but the Kutzker Rebbe says so beautifully. So often we violate the Avera of stealing without even realizing what we're doing. Because it's not that we're stealing from other people. It's not that we're stealing someone else's possession, but rather, he says, it's that we're stealing ourselves from ourselves. God gave us so much talent, God gave us so much ability, God gave us so much to be proud of and so much to contribute that only we can contribute. Like the Keshes that Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch writes in our Parsha is, highlighting the individuality, the ability for each person to give something that nobody else is able to give. And so often we steal that from ourselves because we want to be like someone else and we feel, I'm inadequate. What can I bring to the table? How worthy am I? What can I do already? Does God really care about me? And the answer is, absolutely God cares about me. And we ask God for the strength and the courage to stand up, L'man nechdal me'oshek yadenu. Not that we stop the acts of theft and larceny from other people, but rather that we stop the acts of theft from ourselves. That we once again have the ability to return ourselves to ourselves, to recognize how much potential we have, how much ability we have to contribute to our world and make it a better place than it was before we came here. This is something to consider on Parshas Noach, when we learn about the Keshes and we learn about last week's Parsha Adam HaRishon having the Kas Nosar. It's a time for us to think as well about cutting back every so often and being judgmental on other people, because you never know. You might have a person like Esav HaRasha, you might have a person like the people in the times of Noach, but who knows? Maybe there's something very special inside of them that only they can contribute, only they can bring to the story, and something that we are missing the opportunity if we judge them and we don't give them the chance to recognize all of the unbelievable and incredible capacity and potential that they may have latent inside of themselves.